Welcome to Power Hour, where the editors of Power Sports Business interview the movers and shakers of the power sports industry. All right. Welcome, everyone. I'm Brendan Baker, editor of Power Sports Business. And today we're here with Zach Matern of Apier Commercial Risk Management. And we're going to be talking about, it may sound like, you know, a lot of times people hear the name, you know, like insurance and they go to sleep, right? You know, but I think it's, you've got some exciting things going on, and that, you know, this is a good topic for dealers to dive into right now, because A, insurance rates and things are changing and fluxing a lot. So, you know, you got to have somebody that can understand that landscape and be on the dealer side, right? So tell us a little bit about what you do, Zach.
So thank you, Brendan. So I spent my first 17 years of my career as a power sport dealer. My family and I were the BMW Triumph Ducati Vespa store in New Orleans under the name TTRNO. And, you know, after my exit, I had to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up, and stumbled into commercial insurance. And, you know, it was a part of business that I was probably the least apt in, and became a student of the business over the last couple of years. And, you know, in reflecting on where I wanted to kind of spend my time, you know, I started looking back on my time as a dealer and how there was really no one that was a really good resource when it came to insurance and commercial risk management. And, you know, I decided, hey, there's an opportunity here. Let me go and play in this space. Right. And so this past summer, I was able to join Apier Commercial Risk Management. And we have, with the idea of creating a program specifically for power sports dealers, and you know, be the expert in the room when it comes to commercial risk management and your commercial insurance as a dealer.
So, you know, with, as far as like commercial insurance, what kind of insurance, like how tricky is it on this dealer side? Like, what kind of insurances are you carrying for risk management? What are the some of the things that you're, you know, a typical dealer might have to carry as the types?
The required coverages for a dealer in the commercial space are property coverages. So the building that you're in, the inventory within your store, your fixtures, your furniture, you know, anything that is tangible in your store that would be covered under your property policy. Your casualty policies, which are your general liability, anything that would have to do with your completed operations as a dealer, as well as coverages like errors and omissions that covers titles and paperwork and truth and lending disclosures and all the things that happen in your finance office. Your employment practice liability insurance. So that's you know, sexual harassment or wrongful termination. Your dealer open lot coverages, which are going to cover your vehicles, your inventory of vehicles, or your garage keeper's limits, which is going to cover the vehicles that you have in for service during that time. You've also got right. workers' comp that covers your employees during their operations, as well as cyber coverages. So it's really the whole gamut of anything outside of like your health insurance or your own personal insurance as a dealer principal covers the whole gamut. So, you know, as a commercial broker, you know, I focus in the power sports world, but I write commercial risks of all types. I've got hotels and restaurants and manufacturers and engineering firms. So what I find too is that the entrepreneurs that are in this space typically also own additional properties or own additional businesses. So there is opportunities to create some continuity in some places, and also making sure you're separating certain places as well,
right,
when it comes to risk.
So, and then that way they can be as protected as possible, like say, hey, you know, you want to personally be protected, but also your businesses, like if you have multiple businesses, are they, you know, to make sure they have up to snuff coverage for that business, but not too much. You know, obviously you don't want to go too much, you know, it's, you got to get the, right. be the Goldilocks effect. You need the, just the right one, you know?
Right.
So and that's where, that's, you know, someone like you can come in and help pick, and choose the right cup. And so you're not tied to any specific insurance company, right? You're not like writing.
So as a broker, I can approach multiple markets. And that's kind of what, so in this space, historically, you know, Zurich created this coverage, and Zurich has been kind of the gold standard for what dealership coverages are. And, right. And, but Zurich doesn't write in 50 states. And so Zurich, when you go to Zurich as, specifically when it comes to their dealership program, you can only get to their dealership program through buying it directly from Zurich. So if you have a Zurich broker, your Zurich broker is only shopping their own programs. If you have a federated broker, they're only shopping their own programs. You have a Century broker, they're only shopping their own programs. Me as a broker, I have, you know, depending on what state you're in, anywhere between 3 and 7 markets available at any time that we can go specifically when it comes to these garage package quotes. Because a lot of times coverage will have to get outside of the garage package, but for the most part, all the coverages that a dealer would need are in usually one very large policy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, and then that very large policy might have the umbrella in it too, or is that okay?
Yeah. The umbrella would be in there as well. Workers' comp is usually probably the same underwriter, but within, you know, within the same, probably different policy number within the same underwriter. It also depends on what part of the country you're in too. You know, if you're a coastal, so I write in all 50 states. My clients are in all 50 states. I live in Louisiana. I live in New Orleans. New Orleans and Louisiana are a very hard state to get anything written for two reasons. We invented ambulance chasing lawyers, number one. And number two, we almost get killed every couple of years and wiped off the face of the earth by a hurricane. So those are two big exposures for us. Florida is very similar to us as well in that sense, where property is very difficult to place in places like that. But I think
Florida is actually say that even,
I mean, really up the East Coast, it's becoming issues. And then in the Midwest, you have hail and wind exposure. And then
tornadoes,
right? And then, you know, as you get further west, you start getting into wildfires and different exposures that snow may bring with the weight on a flat roof. So every part of the country's got their own issue. And so you really, there's no one way to do any specific risk in any part of the country is what I've found. And so being a broker, as opposed to being a direct writer, it allows me the flexibility to go, hey, your garage liability package may fit perfect here, but I'm going to put your dealer open lot here. And we're going to have to carve your property out because you live in Florida and standard markets don't write in Florida. So that's going to go here. So it's really about understanding what the risks are in the part of the country that you're in, and then building a program around how that works. Cause there is no one size fits all.
So, you know,
universal fix to what this is.
Well, and weren't you saying, or somebody was saying earlier, like Century, like some of these places aren't, you know, they're not in all 50 states. And I know like Florida being one of those where a lot of people are kind of bailing out, maybe probably Louisiana as well to some degree. So what are the options? I mean, is that a bad thing as far as like when those insurance, those major companies are pulling out, or they're just saying it's too risky for us, but there's other players in here that would take care of it, or does that work?
So from where we are at Apier and what my plan is that, and because so to answer your question very broadly, I not only want to be an advocate for the client, I really want to be an advocate for the industry. So there's always going to be an underwriter that's pulling out of the market, because at some point they're going to hit their max capacity and go, this isn't working anymore. We can't be competitive anymore. We're going to stop writing dealers. It happened with Century this year, Philadelphia the year before, Harco. I mean, there's been, you know, every couple of years, a couple drop off. So in addition to going out and finding new opportunities to sell, I'm also consistently having conversations with underwriters and markets to try and bring them into the space, because you know, as with everything we've done in the power sports industry, we're always like the stepchild to whatever happens in the automotive industry, right? And so there are a lot more underwriters that will write in the automotive space, and I've had success actually talking directly to some of these automotive underwriters and saying, hey, have you considered power sports? And then kind of overcoming some of their misconceptions of what happens in our space. For instance, if you're a Midwest dealer, and let's say you're a Midwest car dealer, and you have a, you know, 20-acre lot with, you know, cars on it. Well, that's a huge exposure for wind and hail in that part of the country. Most power sport dealers are gonna store their inventory inside. So I've gone to these markets that said, hey, you can diversify your risk here, because the chance of having a hail exposure from a Polaris dealer is a hell of a lot less than a Honda dealer with, you know, 200 cars on a lot. So
that's a good point, because you're right, they're outside and they've got a lot bigger footprint, you know.
So yeah,
plus they do test drives.
Right. You know? Well, actually, you know, and so that's another great point. You know, I was in a 20 club meeting speaking this week, and you know, they were saying, hey, we can't get test rides from our underwriter. And I have never had any trouble placing a risk with test rides, as long as the dealer has got a risk control in place. And what does the risk control look like? A waiver that typically not only releases the dealership of bodily injury, but also puts the property injury back onto, or the property damage, if there's a wreck, back onto the rider. Also making sure the rider has got the correct gear, making sure there's a standard procedure, there's a route. You know, there are ways to get all this stuff done. It's just going to take some time on the dealer side to get the right risk controls in place to make it work.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, because I had a dealer tell me that they've rethought doing demos because they got sued by somebody or another, you know, and it's like, oh, we don't want to take that risk anymore. And we're just, you know, we'll let the OEM come in and do their demo tour, but we're not going to do our own, you know.
Right. So, well, I can tell you what, in my experience on the European side of the business, demo rides were a big part of getting people over the hump, right?
right. You get somebody on a bike, I think it's different than in a car. They're already like excited, you know, it's already almost sold by then. Well, you know?
That's another big difference between the liability or the casualty exposure on a car dealer versus a power sport dealer, because, you know, the car business is so commoditized, right? It's all driven by price, and there's not really a relationship base unless you really start getting the luxury brands. On the power sports side, there's a pretty good chance you know your customer, right? What is the metric? 60% of your business is repeat and 30% is referral. So, talking to underwriters, not only do these dealerships know their customers, usually the operator, the owner, is also the operator and is running the store. So, you know, there's a lot less of a chance of something going wrong, because there's just a lot more controls in place, because it's not a bunch of strangers constantly in and out of the store.
Right. Yeah, true. And he's, you know, yeah, you've got the owner is usually right there. Yeah. So that makes sense. But so, yeah. So, you know, it seems like there's so much to think about when it comes to, you know, and it's all these little things you probably, you know, I've never owned a store and you have, but, you know, when I'm thinking about like what kind of, you know, you don't realize how much goes into all those little decisions that you make to add up to the whole, you know.
Right.
And then, and to get you what you want, you know. I know, like, just from my own like car insurance, whatever, they're always like, oh, you have this. I'm like, do I really need all that? You know, you have the minimums, but then you're like, do I need the $100 deductible or whatever, you know? But certain things you want to change, you know, there's ways you can be like, well, maybe we don't need to have that. We can, you know, save ourselves a little money and have, you know, a higher deductible or whatever, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I think there's a lot to think about there and a lot for. So now a dealer, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, in our off the record session here. But, you know, so you kind of recommend for dealers to do a review every year, right? Like
Yeah, I think it's really important to take a look at those limits. You know, I find so much when I review clients or prospects' policies, you know, it's always nice to have another set of eyes look at things. So I did one today for a dealer up in Iowa, and I was just asking questions. I didn't really have the whole story when he gave me the policy. So I said, look, a lot of these are assumptions, but these are things that I immediately figure, you know, like why is your building limit this? That's $59 a foot. You can't rebuild a building for $59 a foot. So, you know, like, it's just like what is, you know, making sure that you're paying attention to what you're buying. Listen, you have to buy insurance. There's no way around it.
Right.
So like stop treating it like a commodity and let's start treating it as a risk management strategy. And a risk management strategy is, you know, making decisions based off of how much risk you want to take. So making sure that hey, your garage keeper's limit is a great example. The garage keeper's limit is what's going to cover vehicles that are in your care, custody, and control. So vehicles that are in your store for service. You know, when I see people with $100,000 limits and $20 million in sales, there's that would be four vehicles. Like I know you have more than four vehicles right now in your even your service, but you know, like on the lifts probably at this point. You know,
how
much risk do you want to take? Because increasing that limit is not gonna drastically increase your premium. But at least giving the client the opportunity to say, hey, this is what that is. Do you want to go this way or do you want to go this way? You make that decision. But you're if everything one, burns down tonight, you know, are you ready to make that?
And it's also like you want to go into it eyes wide open, you know, like, hey, I know that I've taken that risk. You know, it's just like with your stock portfolio or whatever. If you handed, you know, it's like you want to know how much risk you're taking or that you're willing to take the risk if you're going to do it, like, you know, maybe not have as much coverage as you want because, or you go the other way and say, hey, I don't want to worry at all. And, you know,
and I think that's why it's important to understand how the business works, because I think that and it's no hit on a broker that doesn't understand how it works, but they're going to approach how they present things differently because they just don't understand how things work. And there's nothing bad about that, but there's something great about having somebody that understands it and can have that conversation with the underwriter. You know, there's so much of the broker underwriter relationship is about being the squeakiest wheel, right? And telling the right story, because that underwriter is getting 400 submissions a day. So what's going to make your submission stand out from the other person's submission? Right. So it's really about being able to say, hey, what are your hangups? Oh, well, this and this. Well, this, let me explain to you why this shouldn't be a hangup, because this is how it works in the business, or this is the controls that they've put in place to fix that. And so it's not just about having applications filled out and then getting some paper back and putting it in a nice folder and giving it to you 12 hours before the renewal. That's not how it should operate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they wish it probably would, but it shouldn't operate like that. And I think that, you know, and now everyone needs to look at things a lot, you know, you need to, you know, track your stuff a lot more, I think, than maybe in the past. You know, again, hey, weather's changing, all this stuff, to where, you know, in the past, maybe you could have said, oh, just give me this package, you know, package A will be fine, you know, give me that combo meal, whatever, but it doesn't always fit for everybody. So,
it's never a one size fits all. And if you think, I mean, we're talking specifically about, you know, in this limit topic, think about how much cost of everything has gone up in the last 5 years. If you haven't adjusted specifically property limits in the last 5 years, then you're probably underinsured.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or they're bugging you to do something. You know, I know that on my own stuff, they're like, we got to rate, you know, or you're just, it comes out and you're like, oh, wow, it went up by quite a bit, you know.
And sometimes the underwriters will say, hey, we're not going to insure it below this value.
Oh, okay.
Right. Because they don't want to have to litigate when there's a loss because you didn't insure your property for enough. Right. So, it's a little bit of a, you know, covering their own butts as well.
Well, and that's true. You don't want to, again, it's like you want to make sure you're covered to replace what you had. You know, it's like getting car insurance where, you know, if you were to wreck a brand new car, you still couldn't, they wouldn't replace it with a brand new car. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you want to be able to get the same for sure. Now, you've been on the road a lot here lately, right? AIM Expo, and then you've got your home base out of Vegas. So you're doing a 20 group. You've been all over the place.
Yeah, it's been a lot of time. You know, what's been really fun about this experience is that, you know, the group that I work with is incredibly entrepreneurial. So it's kind of a fun story. I'll share it with you guys. The company started as a company called Go Wireless, the largest Verizon reseller. They had over 700 stores around the country, and then decided that they wanted to create more revenue and basically basically invented cell phone insurance in the early 2000s before the before the carriers started carrying it. And from there, that's how they accidentally got into the insurance business. So they opened a small agency in Las Vegas where they had, you know, you could, like, personal and small business policies, but also created this niche for device insurance, for fleets of device. Well, they ended up selling the Go Wireless business a couple of years ago and then turned that into a venture capital business where there's 30 companies under the umbrella. And one of the things they wanted to do was increase their insurance footprint in the middle market with Apier. Cell Brokerage is the holding company, and Apier is the middle market space, which is where I work. So companies that are typically over, you know, $5 million in revenue to in the hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue, we're really where insurance does go from being less of a commodity and more of a risk management strategy when it comes to the purchasing strategy. So what's great is that these guys are super entrepreneurial. So, you know, they recruited me and we had a 6-month business planning session of saying, hey, this is how we want to attack the market, right? We want to come in, want to become the experts. And so it's been really fun rolling it out since last summer. You know, we kind of, our big coming out party was the Accelerate conference with you guys in November in Dallas. And
in Dallas,
on the road for AIM. We're doing a lot of stuff with the National Power Sport Dealer Association, which has been great. Did a webinar with those guys right before AIM. You know, we're doing some editorial work with you guys now with the magazine. And then I have a little 20 club tour coming up over the next couple of weeks as well. You know, talking in person. What I find is that I've got to have this conversation at least 5 times with somebody before they call me back, because it's something you deal with it. You don't want to deal with this. How many other fires?
I think that's probably running true, your store, right? You don't necessarily want to deal with it, but you know, it is something you're like, yeah, that's a good idea. I really should do that. And then you stick it there in the back burner. But you know,
you think about it twice. You think about it when you renew, and you think about it when there's a claim, right?
Yeah. So the minute there's a claim, you're like, oh crap, I hope I have everything up to date, you know, or I hope that I've got enough coverage for whatever that was, you know?
And that was part of the reason why I got into this. It seemed to me like every time we had a claim when I was a dealer, we didn't have the correct coverage for the claim. And no one could ever explain it was.
And then how do you figure out who do you call, which one was it? Is it this one or is it that one? Right. You know.
So no one could really tell us what was going on. And so when we sold our store, the gentleman that bought my store was he was my guinea pig. And so the first one I worked on was my own store, and I was able to peel back and go, oh, we should have done this way and that, you know, and we're tripping over a dollar to save a dime. And at the end of the day, we were paying more than what we should have been paying. And we had less coverage than we needed. And so that's where I was like, wait, there's gotta be a better way to do this. And that was kind of the catalyst to really continue on this for the last 4 years.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, and I'm sure you being able to dive in like that from it was your own store, so you knew it intimately of what it needed and what it had and everything, to then be able to come at it with that different perspective of the, you know, Apier logo, you know, and just going, okay, hey, I have all this, you know, let's try to make this, you know, optimized as much as possible. You're like hacking the insurance, you know, how everyone's always hacking some kind of, you know, you gotta figure it out, you know, and get the most out of it because, you know, I think all too often people do that where they, like you said, trip over a dollar to save a dime, you know, and you're like, okay, you know, you think you're really saving something, but you're not, you know?
Right.
And so, in the end, it's the risk. You got to think about the risk, right?
Right. And you know, there's some kind of constants within commercial insurance that I could identify issues pretty quickly. For instance, it's a general rule that 1-2% of total revenue is probably where your insurance spend is. 2% being, you know, if you're living in a coastal area and own your property, you're probably closer to 2%. And you can also be under 1%. But for instance, the dealership I was talking to, you know, had their revenue and their insurance spend number was so far off. I was like, something's not right here.
Right.
You know, because there should be some constants there. And start peeling it back. And I'm like, oh, wow, there are a lot of holes in this coverage in some pretty important places. And the same thing the other way. You know, I had someone reach out to me and their premiums had increased by almost $30,000. Well, then they had a $3.5 million garage keeper's limit. I'm like, how big is your service department? And they're like, it had been a mistype and it hadn't been explained to them correctly. So like, there are ways to look at this, just from a high level to go, hey, something's not right here. This is
right.
This is
you way can out kind of whack. Sniff it out. Well, I think that's with your experience and understanding of this market. It's like you can definitely sniff out that this doesn't quite add up right here, and then you start, peeling the layers back to see what it is. So.
Yeah, and there's also, there's a kind of this garbage in, garbage out situation going on too. If you don't spend the time to get the correct information into the broker, then you're going to get the same thing out on the other end. Look, if you're moving, brokers, there's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to do this. But once you get it done, it's done, and hopefully you can stay where you've been for a couple of years now, and it becomes less of an issue. But don't call me if your renewal's on March 1st and today's February 29th. Let's talk in July.
Right. Yeah. Don't give it. You're not like the tax guy. Don't give me. You need a little bit of time there to. I know some the tax guy always hates it when you're like, hey, I got. It's like the day before the April 15th or whatever.
Yeah. As the son of a CPA, I can definitely empathize with that comment for sure.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, I mean, I think these are all good points here, and. We're happy to work with you, and we're glad to have you at Accelerate on our panel. I know you're doing a lot of work with some good industry people. So, again, everybody keep Zach in mind here. If you've got an insurance question, I know he'd be happy to take a look at your stuff, at least if you give them enough time to, be able to go through it all, but,
let me be a resource for you. That's really the only way you can know is to have somebody review, and reviewing doesn't cost you anything. So if you have a question, reach out to me. If you want me to take a look at your program, reach out to me. It doesn't cost you anything until you buy coverage and I make a commission on that. So, but there's a lot of pre-work that goes in before that. So, and I don't mind answering the call for anybody that's in this industry that has an insurance question.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's awesome. Well, all right. I think we're not quite at the end of the hour, but we've got, for the end of the conversation, sort of, till next time anyway. So we'll save stuff for later, and keep an eye out for, Zach, you were in the, this is our February article you were in. And I know you'll have more coming at some point, so we'll be looking out for that as well. So
absolutely, thank you for having me today, Brendan.
Yeah, thanks for being on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great.
All right, have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, please like, share, and subscribe. We also invite you to connect with us on powersportsbusiness.com.